This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
And welcome to another episode of Reinvention Radio. Hanging on a... We can't even say a lovely day here, so we're just going to stop talking about
it's
the weather, everyone.
It's a lovely day inside.
It's a lovely day inside with the beautiful and talented Mary Goulet.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Welcome. And very fortunate to have the man himself here, Mr. Peter Scott, the fourth, by the way. So how often, like, when you meet girls, are you just like, I'm Peter.
Peter Scott. The fourth.
Only about every time.
Took
four times to get it right.
Yeah, exactly, right? They finally got it right the fourth time, which is cool.
We'll see.
I like to think so.
Yeah, exactly. So just super excited today because the topic of reinventing fear is really near and dear. Ooh, that's a rhyme
right
there.
We want to invent fear.
Reinvent. We're going to reinvent fear, hopefully, right? Fear of a whole bunch of shit.
That'll
be the plan. Or anything, really. I guess you could reinvent.
I got to see where this is going.
It's going to go in a lot of great places. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about, of course, I got to timestamp this thing and tell you that the Hawks won last night. So,
Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks.
Yes.
And I know Kelly is listening going, yeah, I like to until you like the Hawks. Sorry, Kelly. The Hawks pulled it out.
And, I know.
They're
a better team.
They're certainly a better looking team, no doubt. Have you seen them Tampa Bay Lightning people? They are. That's an ugly bunch right there.
Have you been to Florida?
Well, that's kind of where I'm going with this. Yeah. I mean, that's my wife was like, we need to move someplace. No, actually, she wasn't. She would have been perfectly content just staying in Chicago forever.
I love Chicago.
Chicago. Look, 6 months out of the year, Chicago is the best place on earth.
Yes.
The problem is, you never know which 6 months it's going to be.
Totally.
I mean, that's the reality. Like, March can be nicer than July. It's just I'm actually going to Chicago this weekend.
Your mom is a rock star.
My mom is a rock star, and my mom is getting her MBA. She's graduating from DePaul this weekend. So I'm actually going, and I was looking at the weather report, and, like, literally, you know how, like, on your iPhone, if you have an iPhone, you have, like, the weather thing, it shows the icons of what the weather's going to be. Like, every single day for the next 8 days or whatever the time frame is, it shows thunderstorms.
Okay, so 2 days ago, it was 90 degrees. Yesterday, it was pouring rain.
There was a day when I moved here to San Diego from Chicago.
I moved here
year and a half ago in January, and it was 70 degrees here, and it was 50 below zero wind chill in Chicago.
Yeah.
The first week I was out here.
Hey, yeah. I'm from Minnesota. I get it.
That's 120 degree temperature swing. Yes. You got to like that.
So where does she live?
In Minneapolis and St. Anthony.
Yeah. Okay, I was in Minneapolis. Crystal.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of swings, by the way, I have to address this. Mm-hmm. And you can probably speak to this as well, because I know you've worked for minimum wage many a times in your life. As a matter of fact, from what I'm to understand, you still work for minimum wage, like right now.
So, and you make more than we do.
for this show. Yeah, exactly. So one of the things that I just saw is LA passed an ordinance to raise the minimum wage from seven, whatever it is, to $15 an hour by 2020.
Okay.
Which is like, really? What the fuck took so long? I mean, who can live off of $7 in anything an hour? I mean, you're talking about $280 a week gross. What's the poverty line? The poverty line has to be what, like 18 grand, 20 grand, something like that? If you know the poverty line, call us at 866-977-2346. No, seriously, studio number one here. So hit number one, 866-977-2346, and join us here on Reinvention Radio. But what is the poverty line? It's got to be like 18.
Something around, I think, 20 grand, a little bit around there. I want to share a story actually about minimum wage.
I'd love to hear it.
My first job was, I think I was 14 years old, and I would clean stalls.
We're not going to talk about the brothel thing again, are we?
No, not that. Can we share that on here?
We've been sharing a lot of things on here. Okay. That's all we do is share. As a matter of fact,
if I get a little bit more comfortable, I'll share that story.
Yeah.
But this first job, I literally cleaned stalls, shoveled shit, horses and baled hay for $2.50 an hour. I would work 40 hours a week.
Yeah,
and
but
I would
that was
get a $100 bill.
That was in 1920, though, dude. So
yeah,
I mean, at that point, because you're 80, you know, no, you're 100, and my math is so bad, I couldn't even.
I think my first job was I was making maybe $4 an hour.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I'm not going to tell you what it was.
And so you got $100, and yep. At 14 you were pretty stoked.
Oh yeah, I mean, I could buy so much candy at that age. It was great.
Actually, speaking of candy, I remember very specifically my folks got divorced, and one of the things my dad liked to do was basically just buy my love, which was awesome because I love him for that. And when I was little, and he used to come back and take me out to dinner, he would give me a quarter, and he would say, "Go into the 7-Eleven and get whatever you want." And, like, literally, I could get a couple of things for a quarter.
I know.
You can't even buy a fucking Reese's peanut butter cup, you know, like one of those individually wrapped Reese's peanut butter cups, because it's like a quarter, and then they add tax, you're toast. So I digress. So the question that I had was, first of all, why on earth – there are people fighting this right now. I mean, there are, and of course, the people that are fighting it are the big corporations. And when you talk about reinventing, I mean, you know, reinventing the workplace and reinventing the status quo as far as how corporations treat their people, I mean, we have got to be looking at this because you've got folks like McDonald's who they said more than 40% of their workforce works at minimum wage. So to raise the minimum wage to $15. And of course, if they did that unilaterally across the whole country, that would be a good thing. But now these guys are crying, you know, they're crying till you know, the cows come home now about how they can't survive, how the restaurants are going to close.
They're just going to raise the price of the Big Mac.
Which would be logical because, I mean, frankly, you know, a 99-cent double cheeseburger, it's all well and good. But, you know, if it's that or closing the shop, then raise it to $1.49, you know. So anyway, the point only being that when I look out at the different areas of our world that need reinventing, one of those areas is this whole dynamic between the haves and the have-nots. Because when you look at like the Walmart, and it's, you know, like Walmart's another example, right? I mean, these guys are just, they're fucking up in arms, you know, about this whole $15 an hour thing. And you look at the people, Walmart has created almost as many millionaires as Microsoft. And frankly, they've even created, I think, more billionaires than Microsoft because of the way that the wealth was distributed in that company. And they're fighting over whether or not to pay $15 an hour to their employees. What's your take on that, Mr. Scott?
My first take is just shock about it. Like, in one perspective, as a entrepreneur, especially when you're a public corporation like a Walmart or like McDonald's, a lot of the executive's responsibility is to raise shareholder value, right? And so their perspective is, okay, if we raise minimum wage, it's going to raise the cost of our company and we aren't going to be returning the profits that we had in the past. But the real bottom line is that what's far more important than that, I believe, is the happiness that their employees actually have, the enjoyment of them going into work and having an environment where they actually feel like they're taken care of, because when they do that, they're going to be more focused, they're going to be more productive, they're going to create a better experience for customers, the people that go in and order the food at McDonald's or Walmart, and that's going to actually increase the profits of the business. So it's that instant gratification versus long-term fulfillment over time. I think the profit will be better for these corporations by doing something like this.
Yeah, I mean, the return on investment, I mean, you're talking about human capital, right? I mean, the value of human capital is exponential. And, I mean, you've been in Walmart before. Have you ever been in Walmart?
I've stepped into Walmart before. Oh, yeah,
but that absolutely. Was by, you were lost. You were just looking for directions. Peter was like, where am I? I'm going to go into this big store.
But didn't the greeter tell you? Did he help
they
you out?
Me. They were very friendly, actually.
you know, hey, my dad's a Walmart greeter now, so let's
is he really?
No, he's not.
I'm a little gullible, but then you've been shoveling a lot of stuff at me today.
It's true. I would be happy if he was a Walmart greeter because he's very talented and like he's underutilizing his talent. So that's another discussion. But, you know, the question I have really is because you came from a corporate background.
Yes.
you were in investment banking, right?
Yep.
And the name of the game in investment banking is making a lot of money. And when you're looking to allocate your investments, you know, going back to that life, many lifetimes ago, but you would look for the best possible return for your clients.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the game. So would you sell Walmart? Would you sell McDonald's? Would you sell, would you take your people out of those companies if you were still in that business?
I wouldn't do it. I mean, obviously there may be a change with the value of the company, but over time, honestly, I think more people will be going to a Walmart and to these businesses because of the change.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be taking my people out of it.
Well, it's perceived as corporate greed when they won't raise the minimum wage.
Yep.
However, we as consumers are going to pay for it.
And there's a shift today from this old school of capitalism to this more new school of conscious capitalism. I'm a capitalist at heart, and to bring purpose and passion and more than just the dollar amount that you create, but the value you create through the quality of your employees' lives is incredibly important. And I think we'll attract more high quality people to work for companies like that.
But that's more of a long run attitude, and people like to talk about the news in a short run manner.
Very true.
So wait, you mentioned you have a book, but we're going to be running out of time. We have to go to the second segment. We have to go to break.
We do have to go to break.
But he said
it's just that we got to pay for the lights in this place somehow.
Peter Scott.
I know. We'll be
the fourth.
Peter Scott, the fourth. Damn it.
Seriously.
So, yeah, no, I definitely want to talk about the book and also want to dive into the whole notion of how you get over these hurdles and these obstacles that stand in front of so many of us day in and day out. We'll be back with more Reinvention Radio right after this.
One person has the power to change the world, impact millions of lives, and leave a legacy for lifetimes to come. That person is you. In the New York Times bestseller, What is Your What? Steve Ulcher, award-winning author and founder of the Reinvention Workshop, reveals his proven process that has helped thousands of men and women discover, share, and monetize the one thing they were born to do. Grab your free copy now at www.whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's www.whatisyourwhat.com/free.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio, and I just like saying this. So if you're just joining us, I don't know, I just like saying
so do
that,
I.
Right? Because like if it's a podcast, like that's impossible. So, you know, it's like just push play and like they just fast forwarded to this segment. So if you're listening to the podcast, obviously you're not just joining us. But if you're just joining us live, then welcome. Glad you're here. And
I know people want to call us, but they're afraid.
I know they're afraid because we will make them do things that, you know, frankly, they make movies about. So, yeah, exactly. 866-977-2346. That's studio number one. So 866-977-2346. I was actually leaning more towards like 50 Shades and that sort of thing.
Oh.
Not that I've ever seen it. But by the way, like
you read the book.
You know, they featured me on so many of those covers, like for years, those Harlequin type books or whatever it was. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I said, that's fine. If you want to use my body for those romance novels, I'm happy to donate, but you know, for whatever reason, I never got a movie deal. I you know, Fabio. It was me or it was Fabio.
I think I know why.
Yeah,
it's because you cut your hair.
That
if your hair was longer, then you would have got that.
Have you seen the picture of me with a mullet?
Oh, it's nice. Actually, I have seen that picture.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my
that's
lord,
nice.
That's a great picture.
And by the way, I'm bringing the mullet back. You talk about reinventing fear, reinventing the mullet. That's like that's
you
want to
overcome fear, grow a mullet.
Exactly. if you ever seen Joe Dirt?
Oh yes.
That guy that's like the best movie ever. This boy has nothing but confidence with the world's worst hair. And that there's a life lesson to be learned there,
yes,
Mr. Scott.
Is.
All right. So
what's your website?
My website is thefearlessmindset.com.
The Fearless Mindset.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the website about the book that just came out. And then my actual personal blog is designafearlesslife.com.
All right. So what is a fearless life?
A fearless life is one where it's not without fear, Steve. I think a lot of people have this misconceived notion that being fearless is being without fear. I don't think that anyone is truly without fear. The most extraordinary and successful people that I know still feel fear on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. The difference is having the courage to act in spite of those fears. Mm-hmm. So still fearing that fear, but being connected to a deeper purpose of why they want to overcome that.
So I can link fear and anxiety into the same category-ish?
Yes.
Right?
I mean, there are definitely differences, but they are very similar.
Okay. So yeah. What happens from, we take one or two angles. We either freeze or we get busy. So it's a fight or flight with, you know, the fear and the anxiety. And absolutely. I know in myself, if I, like, stop motion, then the fear and anxiety just gets out of control.
Yes.
Then my mind starts creating negative scenarios. However, if I get up and move, like even go outside and go for a run, do something.
Movement is absolutely huge. So in addition to movement, also breath. You know, I believe that, and I think a man named Fritz Perl said this, fear and excitement are the same thing. It's just, fear is just excitement without the breath. So when you start holding your breath, mm-hmm. when your heart beats faster, when your palms are sweaty, when you freeze up, that escalates that anxiety and that stress and that fear. When you slow yourself down and close your eyes and really focus on your breath, you're able to move that fear into a feeling of excitement. And a lot of people have this fear of public speaking, for example, or being on a radio show like this. And those feelings feel the same thing in your body. It's just having the awareness to distinguish the two different types of fear, and I can talk more about that, yep. but focusing on getting as much oxygen in your body so that you feel more grounded.
Yeah,
so,
and I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I mean, I was just wondering, like, do you think when Fritz came up with that, like, his buddies were like, Fritz, that's it? Sorry, I actually worked at a restaurant called Fritz That's It as a kid, and my bike was stolen outside of Fritz.
Where your mind goes and grabs a tidbit and then comes back to the
it's
show and
incredible.
Makes it relevant
yeah.
is so weird.
I think weird is yes. So finally I have a platform for my let's just call it uniqueness. All right, so what if your breath is like really bad? And no, I'm just playing. So
you've got to always have mints or gum on hand.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So moving through the fear,
yes.
I mean, and I will admit that, you know, just stopping and breathing is incredibly powerful. I mean, when you go back and you look at the things that they do teach us, the reading, the writing, the arithmetic, one of my biggest beefs is we've got to reinvent the whole school system, because one of the things that we just don't teach our kids is how to live. And what you're addressing right now in terms of how to live with fear, I mean, that's a subject that could literally be taught in every grade throughout elementary, junior high, and high school, and hell, college for that matter.
Absolutely. I mean, I believe that fear is the number one thing that slows or stops people from achieving their dreams and what they really want.
Absolutely.
And it's different types of fear, of course. It could be that fear of failure, or it could be the fear of judgment or disapproval from family or from society, that fear of uncertainty, of not knowing what to do next. And the key is to being able to, like, bring awareness to it and label it as an irrational fear. You know, there are two types of fear that I want to talk about. One is rational fears and the other is irrational. Irrational fear is, you know, say that next week I'm going to be camping in Yosemite and I'm hiking 55 miles and we're camping out and there are going to be bears.
That doesn't
there.
Sound like fun, by the way.
For me, it's fun. I'm crazy. I'm wired differently.
I'm the guy that would literally drive from the sofa to the refrigerator if I had an opportunity to do so. I would.
Okay,
so I'm sorry. So 55 miles in Yosemite.
So when I'm camping out, there is a chance that there are going to be bears there. And if I feel fear and a bear is charging me, that's a good thing that I feel that fear.
No, it's fucking not a good thing.
It's a great thing because it forces me to move and to run and to get out of there and be as safe as I possibly can.
If you run, the bear will kill you. The bear is faster than you. You don't want to run from a... You've lived with bears before, Mary.
Oh, yeah. I'm afraid of snakes to the point where I was at some field event at the kids' school, and I didn't realize. No, there's some that are deeply rooted.
Yes.
And I just happened to glance, and somebody had a big snake wrapped around them. I no one's ever seen anyone run faster than I did. Instinctually, you'll never get me over the fear of snakes.
By the way, you want to talk about
that's
fear.
Scary.
All right, so this guy's in the woods with his mom, and they're camping. This is like just
a
happened.
True story?
True story. It just happened. And a snake bites the kid's leg, and the mother is pregnant. And she sucks the venom
that's
out of his
right.
leg. Did you
read
see that?
This morning.
Wouldn't you, like, I would be so terrified. Talk about fear. I don't know which I would be more afraid of, killing my unborn child or letting my born child die. Sorry. Okay. Anyway. So
that's terrifying.
So
we're going to challenge you to get us over our fears.
Exactly.
That fetus should have been like, Mom, you just suck out that venom. Anyway, so rational versus irrational. Yes.
Yeah, so we were talking about rational fear. Irrational fear is something I alluded to earlier. It could be something like the fear of public speaking, of being on stage in front of a big group, or fear of failure. And the problem is that they both feel the same exact way in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Rational fears keep you alive. That fear of snakes, if you are hiking and you hear a rattle, that keeps you alive. But that fear of public speaking, that keeps you from living. So it's mm-hmm. being able to bring awareness to that, label it, and know that the only way, this is the biggest thing I want the listener to take away from this, is the only way to overcome that irrational fear is to label it as such and then commit to doing that thing that scares you.
Yeah, and that is so hard. Did I ever tell you my acronym for fear?
No.
Uh-oh.
No, this is actually
I hear
this,
an F-bomb.
No, this
coming.
Is actually legit. No F-bombs.
I have that feeling too.
No, this is legit. So my acronym for fear is forget everything about reality.
Oh,
see,
you
yes.
have a
exactly.
You have a good thought.
That
there.
Is an actually like that's an actually like that that's like good. A useful thought that might actually help somebody.
Yep.
So forget everything about reality, right? Because things are never going to go as good as you hope, mm-hmm. or as poorly as you think they might. But I do want to talk about the difference between sort of intuition, which Mary talks a lot about, mm-hmm. and going with your gut, and premonitions versus fear. Because, like, in my mind, I often have, like, these, I don't know, just visions or jolts or whatever you want to call them, where I'm afraid something is going to happen. And I literally have to say to myself, either this is a rational fear of something that might happen, mm-hmm. or literally this is just a straight fear that I just need to let go of. Have you ever had that, you know, where like you have to convince yourself that it's just a fear and it's not reality?
Yeah.
And other times you with the intuition
yeah.
where it actually does come to pass. So you have to honor it, but
well,
then kind of define and delineate between whether or not it's a fear or if in fact it is a premonition.
Right. Yes. And I think the more emotional you are about it, it's more likely not real.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
I got two right today.
Because the reality is usually...
We're going to have Peter on more often. That's like, that's two for you already.
I'm very smart.
The reality is not necessarily what we get emotional about. It's the stories that we tell about
yeah.
that reality that we think could happen or
yeah.
that belief that we have. If we don't take a step back and ask ourselves, is this true? Like, is this reality right now? Then we could spiral into that fear-based reality.
Mm-hmm. And so the name of your book is A Fearless...
It's called, yeah, The Fearless Mindset.
The Fearless Mindset. I got you. And the subtitle?
The subtitle is The Entrepreneur's Guide to Get Fit in Less Time, Double Your Income, and Become Unstoppable.
And you're giving 5,000 copies away for free, I think you 5, said?
5,000 copies
right.
away.
Yeah, exactly.
Are
so
you really?
I am not, actually.
Okay, because well, I would say, we might want to talk.
Totally, yeah. When I do launch it, it will be listed at $15, and it'll be in a small window of time available to be downloaded and bought for just 99 cents. So very, very
right,
affordable.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And
why didn't you bring a copy?
So yeah, right. I know. Thanks, Peter. Yeah.
Hello. Could have had a picture of that
yeah.
with us.
Yes.
I don't know if you said this live or if you said this before you came on, but you said you woke up with a copy of your book this morning.
It was just delivered this morning, and in
Yay!
Fact, I can't believe I don't have it on me. It's in my car.
I would
right
have signed
now.
It.
I have to
I
go
during
grab
the break.
It, so I'm going to go grab it during
get
break.
I totally would have signed it for you too.
Done.
So bring. So bring your book. I will
can
sign
I get
it for you.
Both of your autographs.
Why are we signing? Sign it's he's the author.
Exactly. So bring the book. I will sign it for you and
reverse marketing
exactly and by the way remind me to tell you about reverse shoplifting. Love that
okay.
idea, which you're going to love for your book. So
and then opposite day
SpongeBob exactly. So we'll be back with Peter Scott the fourth and more Reinvention Radio right after this.
You You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Ulcher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And Peter Scott the Fourth is hanging out. I just have to say that.
You do sound so very fun, Hollywood.
I know, I love that. Peter Scott.
You want to hear an interesting fact? My last name used to be Scaletti, not Scott.
Italian?
Yeah, Italian.
Why didn't you go back to that?
I know, it's so awesome. It's kind of a mafia name, you know?
I love it. It was a lot more mystery to it.
But with my grandfather, great-grandfather, dad, all the same name, Peter Scott, I've got to carry the tradition.
Well, you would not be Peter Scaletti the Fourth.
Exactly.
And the Fourth is what makes you.
Yeah.
Very true. It's how I get
they
dates.
They broke the mold.
That's how I get dates.
Yeah,
they broke the
Mary,
mold.
I don't know if you know this or not, but my actual name is Rockefeller. So so technically, yes. That's how I pay for all this stuff.
Yes.
So technically, it's
and
Steve
my big salary.
Rockefeller.
I was
exactly.
Wondering
yeah,
you
you're welcome,
your
by
money.
The way. Yeah. So now it all makes sense, right?
Yes.
And it's much clearer.
Yeah.
Clearer. All right. So so before the break. I have no idea what we were talking about.
I don't know.
Well, I'm holding his book.
Oh, right. I'm going to sign your
mindset.
Book for you. Exactly. So I'm happy to sign your book for you. And no, the book looks really good. Actually, my I love black and yellow. My grandfather started Foremost Liquor Stores in Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that or not, but you're from Chicago.
Yeah.
Foremost.
Foremost. Okay.
Liquor stores.
In
yeah.
the city of Chicago?
In the city of Chicago. We actually had stores in about a dozen different states. But started in Chicago.
Interesting.
And,
nice.
Yeah. And anyway, black and yellow. Those were our colors. So I'm a big fan of black and yellow. Nice
Good.
Choice.
Thank you.
Okay. So oh, no, here's what we were talking about. So my friend Craig Duzwald, do you know Craig?
No, I do not.
Well, you need to know Craig.
Okay.
But I'm not going to introduce you. So
I'll stalk him on Facebook.
We'll find our way, won't
yeah,
we?
Exactly. Sam? Yeah, you're out of luck on that. All right. So so he spoke at the first Internet Profits Live.
Okay.
And by the way, thanks for coming to this year's conference. I really appreciate
oh,
your support.
It was an amazing
yeah.
event.
Yeah. You too, Mary. Thanks for being there. Yeah.
I was busy.
Yeah, exactly. So Craig spoke at the first one, and he's this marketing guy. Rockstar marketing mm-hmm. is his thing. And he came up with this thing called reverse shoplifting,
okay.
which is like awesome. So basically what he does is he takes his books and instead of like, you know, just going to, you know, Barnes and Noble or whatever and buying books, he takes his books to Barnes and Noble.
Yes.
And he puts them on the
I've
shelf.
I've done that.
You've done that?
I've done that.
No, but like he actually leaves them there.
I did.
You did that too?
Yes.
Did you, right?
Yeah, my Simon and Schuster book. Well, actually, both my books.
Wait, why didn't Simon and Schuster get it into the fucking store
was,
for that's their job?
Well, if it was not there when I went, I would leave one.
Well, yeah, Peter's got. Yeah,
I've got
please.
A great story. I got to share. This reminds me of this.
Please,
a friend of mine, Sean Stevenson, wrote a book called.
Who,
get
by
off
the
your
way,
butt.
wrote a lovely quote here. I don't know anybody who actually loves the process of becoming fit as much as Peter Scott. Who makes fitness fun and accelerates the growth of his clients' businesses through their new fitness habits?
Yes.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes,
get
thank
off
you,
your
Sean.
Butt. So your friend Sean.
I'm friends with Sean, and one of the first times we hung out, we were on Michigan Avenue at a Barnes & Noble or Borders there. I forget.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist anymore, of course.
Then it was Borders.
I think it was Borders. But when it was there, he had the idea to get some publicity of shoplifting his own book. So the book that's actually there, he was going to steal it and get arrested and get some great media around the author who stole his own book.
Right. And so for those who don't know Sean, just describe Sean.
Yeah, Sean is 3 feet tall in a wheelchair. So Sean was born with a disorder called brittle bone disorder. His body was so fragile that he would sneeze and literally fracture a rib. Hey. And he has spoken on stages with Bill Clinton, with the Dalai Lama, with Richard Branson, is an extraordinary coach, therapist, author, and is now training speakers to share their message with the world.
Yeah, very cool. So you can imagine, like, if they came in and just beat the the police, like, if the, you know, totally. Police came in with batons and just, like, beat the crap out of Sean. I mean, like, and he's holding his book.
Yep.
So
that would go viral.
So that's guerrilla marketing. Yep. I mean,
it's guerrilla marketing.
Exactly. So we're going to honor J. Conrad Levins here for a minute. And
yes.
We like Jay, who passed, unfortunately, but that would be guerrilla marketing at its best. So, mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So we're talking about reinventing fear. We're talking about generally how people move through what, frankly, for many people become the same obstacles throughout their entire lives. Mm-hmm. When do you think these fears get set into place? How do you think? Because fear is like, it's one of those things that I think you learn. Yes?
Yes, absolutely you do. And sometimes you learn it subconsciously, so you're not even aware of the moments that you learn it. There's fears that I've carried with me my entire life that I didn't really realize until about a year ago when I started reflecting on some pivotal events in my story is that I was consumed by fear because when I was a kid, I was literally 10 years old, and I had to sit down in a courtroom with my mother, my grandparents, and an attorney and tell my mom to her face that she was no longer suitable to raise me because of her alcoholism.
Mm. Ouch.
Imagine doing that at 10 years old. And then both my parents battled alcoholism and drug addiction, and my life was consumed by fear, and it created people-pleasing tendencies and that need to seek approval and validation and just
keep yourself safe.
Exactly. That's what it felt. But it also was just a life of inauthenticity. So I've done a lot of work. Sean actually helped me through different road trips that we've been on of pulling out the lessons and the value of these painful experiences that many of us have.
Yeah, and your dad actually drank himself to death.
He did.
Right?
Yeah, he literally gave up on life. And over a 5-year span, I would see him every time I would go home, and he wouldn't be eating. And literally over time, just drank himself to death and passed of cirrhosis of the liver.
So career-wise, you had to get over your own fears, right?
Yes.
Because as we look back on it, you were in a pretty cushy job, man. I mean, you were making good money, and, Chicago's not an inexpensive city. But, if you're making good money, you can live pretty well in that city.
Absolutely.
You had the lifestyle. Take us through sort of what your life looked like at the point before you said, I can't fucking do this anymore.
Totally. So I was in my early 20s. I remember I graduated from college a week later, moved to Chicago to start a career in investment banking. And
you graduated, at that point from the University of Phoenix, the online curriculum,
right? Yes. ITT Tech, too. Double degree.
They sent books in the mail in those days.
Right, exactly.
Yes, we did.
Along with your A-tracks that you couldn't stop subscribing to.
I'm actually a proud Ohio State Buckeye, so if there's any Michigan fans.
No. You can't even say it like that. You have to say it. The
Ohio State University.
Where did that fucking come from anyway? That's like the stupidest
shit. It's the official name of the college. So I think.
Is there another Ohio State University that doesn't have the in front of it?
No, there's Ohio University.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Anyway, so you went to Ohio State.
So I went to Ohio State, moved
to
Chicago.
Just watch these two guys do the sports thing. Like over here going, what? All right.
Until the Blackhawks come up.
Peter Scott IV. That's how you're going to introduce yourself from now on, by the way.
Yes.
So now you've got a bonus. You got to bookend it. You got the fourth on the back. And you got
immediately turn everyone away the moment they meet me.
Fear kicks in.
Exactly.
I'm really afraid of this guy.
Who is this asshole? I'm living in Chicago in investment banking.
What neighborhood, by the way?
I was actually in just on the north side of Millennium Park. So if you go Randolph towards the lake, right near Lakeshore Drive, I was there. So I could walk to the office. So literally there are nights I'd be in the office till 3-4 in the morning, and I'd walk to my apartment with 50-mile-an-hour winds in my face.
And
I have a screenshot on my phone right now, which actually shows the temperature, not the wind chill, the temperature of 17 below. I was like, yeah, that's the straw. I'm done. I'm out. So so you're walking back, freezing your tail off.
Yeah. So I'm in this lifestyle where I'm working 90, 100 hours a week. And
what does that even look like? How do you work 90 hours a week.
You don't sleep. You're literally in the office till from 8 a.m. until 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Literally.
That's too much.
And there are nights when we would pull all-nighters.
But midnight would be okay.
midnight would be...
Mary's like, no, 2, 3 a.m., that's going over the line.
I would get excited when I got out of the office at midnight.
What were you doing? European market, international markets?
No,
what?
We were just having tight deadlines of selling companies. So we would be doing a lot of research as an analyst. I'm the lowest guy on the totem pole. So I was doing a ton of financial analysis, doing leverage buyout analysis, discounted
cash
flows.
Kind of like Working Girl with...
Yes.
There
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
It was on the other day and I caught it. Because
right.
I lived on Staten Island and then I would take the ferry over to Wall Street, mm-hmm. Pine.
Oh, yeah.
And we had our hair like that.
Nice. No, I think Peter's biography is more Pretty Woman, right?
That's more Pretty Woman. I like to think of myself like Richard Gere in that movie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to... Well played. All right, so
he got you.
Thank you for that.
Nice.
Well, you know, this is
you actually turned redder by the moment, by the way, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, it gets hot in here, you know. One movie that actually attracted me to this industry was the movie Wall Street with Michael
Gordon
Douglas,
Gekko.
Gordon Gekko,
yeah.
And Bud Fox, who was Charlie Sheen, much younger, more less insane, Charlie.
Winning.
But the problem with movies like that is it created this misguided view of success. I thought that success meant the suits and the cars and the mansions. And I remember working one night late in the office and seeing one of the partners with nothing due the next day. There was no pitch. There was no project that was pressing. He literally was avoiding going home to his family because he neglected his kids and his wife, and he didn't want to deal with that. He mm-hmm. just wanted to avoid it. And this was the man that I was aspiring to become, was mm-hmm. this role.
And no relationship with his wife, no relationship with his children.
At all.
His kids were awake, he had no idea what to talk about.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I just knew this wasn't for me. And that was, there's another event that I'll share later that brought awareness to...
But take us like through the actual figures, because what kind of money were you making at that point?
Yeah, so six figures easily, you know, the first year out of college.
Wow.
So, you know, in my early 20s, more than most people my age, and that was tough to walk away from.
I'm sure
it was.
Very tough. And after the break, I want to talk about that specific moment because I'm mm-hmm. sure you remember it, right? I mean, there was a specific moment where you just said, I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah. But at the same token, you probably had no idea what you were going to do. So you're walking away from six figures to go into this great abyss where you don't see a path in terms of how you're going to replicate that income. Now, that must have been scary as hell.
It was terrifying.
Yeah. So let's talk about that after the break, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who are doing something they don't love doing. And if they knew how to get to where they want to go, they would do it. So we'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Here's Steve Olscher.
So I couldn't help but notice on the commercial, and if you're listening to the podcast, you're not going to hear the commercial because it's edited out. But on the commercial, they were talking about, you know, the who's who in wine and food. Why haven't I been invited onto that show? I mean, I am clearly like I'm a wine and food guy, right? I mean, like I own liquor.com. Shouldn't that guy have me on the show?
I think so.
Although technically it's liquor.com. It's not wine.com. That explains it. Okay, I'm much clearer now. Okay, so hi, Mary. How are
you? Hello.
Yeah, so hanging with Peter Scott.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The Peter Scott. The fourth.
We're just going to make it more official. Maybe we should put doctor in front of that. Pull
doctor,
stuff out of our.
Would the doctor go before the doctor?
The doctor, Peter.
See, that works.
Yeah, I get it.
Actually,
yeah.
Technically, you have the twice in the same sentence.
We
so
could
that
spread
really
a
work.
Rumor that you're famous.
There we go. That's a great rumor. Spread. I like that.
You'll accept. Exactly. All right. So take us through that moment. We were talking before the break how you got, you know, you're at six figures. Cranking away, I mean, by all measures, you're living the dream, except for the fact that you're working 90 to 100 hours, you're doing work you have no love for, but on paper, it looks really good. Mm-hmm. So you wake up on a particular day and you just say,
I can't do this anymore.
Take us through that.
So it was absolutely, Steve, a series of events, but there was one in particular that that was the catalyst. And I was sharing earlier that the real awareness happened when I was seeing a managing director and partner that I aspired to become literally avoiding going home to his family. And so I realized this is not what I want to do with my life. I enjoy the income that I'm making, but I am miserable and I love dealing with people and I don't have that opportunity. I'm literally crunching numbers in Excel all day and all night. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I knew that wasn't it. And it was the moment that you shared earlier of, I'm in Chicago. I wake up to a phone call from a family member saying my father had just been rushed to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And this was the fourth call that I got in about 5 years like this. And this one was really the last time. My family member said, you know, if you want to say goodbye to your dad, you've got to fly home now. And watching my father just deteriorate over time and give up on life and drink himself to death just put life in perspective for me, mm-hmm. Realizing how fragile it is and how tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. And in that moment, I decided to quit. And I flew back to Chicago and walked into my boss's office and said, I'm done. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I had no income lined up after that, but it was the pivotal moment that led me to reinvent myself.
Yeah. Now, did you have a cash cushion, man? I mean, was there?
I had a little bit of a cash cushion. Yes. So I had a little bit of a runway. But
when was that going to run out? Like, how much, based on what you had at hand? How long did you think you had?
With the
before
lifestyle
you had to do
that
something?
I was living, 6 months.
Okay,
is what I had. 3 to 6 months is what I had, which was a nice cushion. So
depends on how much
time.
Coke you were doing, right?
yeah. Which was around me a lot, honestly.
These random comments.
Well, I mean,
I actually have a heart condition, so I couldn't do that. But it was definitely around me. And it's an industry where cocaine and drugs and stimulants and stuff like that are very common.
Yeah.
And so I had a mentor who I confided in and said, I don't know what I want to do with my life, but I know this isn't it. And she recommended a program that you actually know about called Lifebook in Chicago. And I went through took 4 days to clarify my vision for the lifestyle I wanted to create and just received a lot of value from that experience and decided to open up the conversation of supporting them and working with them and sharing that message. I had no sales experience or anything like that, coaching, but I was trained through them. And
so that was your next job.
Yes.
Okay. I knew you had gone through the Lifebook program. Yeah. I didn't realize that was the very next job.
It was.
That you had after you left the investment banking career.
Yep.
So that ran its course too, though.
That did, yeah. I was there for about 4 years, and then I had moved out to Scottsdale, Arizona, to spend time with Sean Stevenson and just mm-hmm. be mentored by him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dabbling with the idea of launching my own coaching business, but too afraid to actually pull the trigger and do it. And so my focus was split. Lifebook wanted me to move back to Chicago. I said no, and so overnight, that engagement and that agreement and that contract ended. And so sole source of income, again, gone. And the easy thing would have been for me to go into my network and find another financial job.
Mm-hmm.
But I was unwilling to do that. And so I decided to take a huge leap, make a significant investment, and hiring a mentor to teach me the marketing, sales, and systems to launch my own coaching business. And Steve, it was terrifying, man. I didn't know who I was going to serve. I didn't know how to make money. I didn't know what my message was, but I was committed to doing this.
So what does that conversation in your head sound like when you're thinking about doing something that you haven't done before? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to sound like, who the fuck are you to do this? Why are you qualified to do it? Why
can you do it?
Can you do it?
Can you pull it off?
Right. Are you going to be able to make money doing it? What was going through your head at that point? Because, I mean, you wanted to do it, but you had never done it before. And mm-hmm. that's the hang up for a lot of people, is they want to do something, but they've never done it before.
Yes.
Therefore, they don't ever do it.
Totally. So all of those questions were going on in my mind. Do I have the experience? Who am I to do this? I need to get letters at the end of my name in addition to the fourth to be able to coach and serve people. I remember,
which, by the way, you can't earn one of those.
No, you can't.
Yeah, that's an honorary
yes.
something.
And I remember sharing this idea with family, and family discouraging me and saying, you're insane. You know, what is this? You should find something
that's secure. This wasn't like your father
safe.
From beyond, was it?
No. This
still,
is like grandparents.
Berating you? No.
No. Yeah. So this is grandparents and other extended family and things like that. And the question that I asked myself was, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Mm-hmm.
So if my biggest fears come true, what happens? I lose all my money. I lose the apartment that I'm in. I'm homeless, all these things. And I arrived at the decision that if all of those things happen, I am still alive. And I took a risk. And
you were in Arizona at this point.
I was in Arizona.
So it's warm.
So to be homeless in Arizona is much better than to be in Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Exactly.
Okay, so can I ask a question?
Yes. No.
Shut down. I can control the mic.
Yes, you can.
And I can pod you down. Anyway, so last night I had a conversation with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know what to do with her life. She's doing odd jobs to make things work.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a great book for her, by the way.
Yeah, right?
It's called The Fearless Mindset.
Seriously.
Yes.
Then,
technically,
today,
I was actually going to recommend What Is Your What, but The Fearless Mindset is pretty good, too.
Both are good.
Yeah, exactly.
So then I was having a meeting today with somebody who's kind of in a transition. She mm-hmm. knows what she wants to do, but she's caught in a state of fear.
Yes.
So they're both caught between a rock and a hard place emotionally and psychologically. What would you suggest could be a step for them to take?
Yeah, so one is a mindset shift, and this is something I would love for her to hear, and that is clarity is a result, not a requirement. Many of us think that we need to be clear before taking action. We need to be clear before taking that first step. And the problem is, if you believe that, then you wait a long time for that clarity
exactly.
and never take action. So it's taking one step forward in a direction that you feel uncertain about. You don't know if that's the right path, but at least you're creating momentum and you're moving. And the more you do that, the faster you do that, you'll be able to decide if it is the right path or
well,
if it's
so
not.
Well, so maybe because they're girls, I don't know, but they two of them in their own way implode.
Yes.
And want to just stay in a dark cocoon and watch mm-hmm. family
okay.
time or whatever it's Lifetime movies.
Number one suggestion about them is get into motion.
Exactly.
Move your body, because when you move your body and you exercise, your entire emotions change. You spike your energy. You think more clearly. You're able to focus longer. I work a lot with clients on this, and that the best and fastest way to overcome your fears or your doubts is to get into motion, spike that energy, spike that performance, and then go do those things that scare you.
Well, and awesome. When I get in a state of overwhelm, mm-hmm. like, what do I do first? How do I do this? Is this going to work? Blah, blah, blah. I just get out. I either get cardio, pretty
yes.
much. It's yeah. cardio.
And when you do that, you become more decisive and you just
yes.
choose.
And you get a yep. pop of inspiration.
Awesome. And I read somewhere, just put on your gym clothes and amazing things happen once you just put it on.
Absolutely.
You know, all right, awesome.
Tie your laces.
Right? Peter
yes.
Scott the Fourth, the Peter Scott the Fourth. Thanks so much for being here. Mary Goulet,
yeah.
another wonderful edition of Reinvention Radio. We'll
awesome.
Talk to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Nice
really
meeting.
Soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsha, visit reinventionradio.com.